Okay, we are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. Wednesday, 25th of October, 2023. It's the Crass Files podcast, of course, with Adam. And joining me for a chat tonight is the one and only author and researcher, Dawn Lester. It's great to have Dawn on the podcast, as always. We usually try to connect at least once a month, if Dawn's available, to continue looking into her research that she is doing. And we've been doing these podcasts for I'll have to go back, Dawn, and have a look at how many we've actually done. We've done a bunch of these podcasts, so it's been an awesome journey, and it's great to be continuing real independent podcasting. I'm here in Sydney, Australia, on the ground. Dawn's, of course, in the UK. And she gives a great perspective as well as to what she's seeing and everything. So it's always good to connect with my guests here over the years as we move together and we stay positive, of course, and we move forward and we just keep studying and researching and learning and putting it all out there. As I always say, Dawn, it's good to be going. Been doing this since 2015 and it's good to be still here. When a lot of people are either giving up or whatever it is, we still continue forward, and that's a great thing. The website's up, and yours, and your great book. I would quickly just say to the listeners out there, for any new listeners, when they do hear these podcasts, Dawn and I have been chatting for ages now. I don't exactly know how many years, but there's a whole lot of podcasts up on the website, on my website, crassfiles.com. If you head over there and just type in Dawn Lester, you'll get them all. I mean, and they're over on BitChute and stuff as well, and Dawn puts them up on her end. But you'll be able to go back to have a listen to our first podcast and just have a listen to all the work we've done there. And, we've tried to focus a lot on, germ theory and virus germ theory and what this means. And, we've done a hell of a lot of work in looking at that. So if folks ever want to go back and have a listen to what we've done, there's been some really, amazing podcasts over the years that we've put forward with Dawn, and they've been really great shows. So we've covered a lot of ground indeed. So the best thing to do is head over to crassfiles.com, and when the listeners out there get these podcasts, you'll get them on the RSS feed, I know, through iTunes or wherever it is. I know it goes out all over the place. Please also try to go back to the website link, because you'll get all Dawn's important information there on how to contact and the great book, What Really Makes You Ill, and all of this that I attach into the podcast description. It's important to go back to that source as well, just to share and have a look. I always copy and paste it all in and make it look nice all up on the website. There is a podcast slider on the website, and there's also a podcast player on the website if you want to just play it there and download it and share it there. And these will head over to the BitChute channel and Gab, and those I'll just kind of share them over, and even on Twitter seems to be going okay at the moment. Although I'm a little bit funny about it, but I keep posting there, and we put it on Telegram, and Dawn's on Telegram, and David Parker on Telegram as well. So all that will go in the description, and so you'll be able to the folks out there will be able to have a look at all that information and share it. It's really important times to be sharing lots of information. So a lot to catch up on tonight with Dawn. I would say, for the listeners out there, when they get this podcast, please get on the Crass Files website and let people know I'm doing this, and have a look at all the great information going up. There's a chat there for you to share information. Just log in as a guest user and share information, leave links. It's important to do that. A lot of people email me information, and that's great, but leave it in there too, because the public can see it. And if you can, jump on Telegram. I think you just need your mobile number and jump in the Crez Files chat there as well. There's a lot of information going out at the moment. It's very speedy. a ton of information, actually. And we're having a lot of great success and a lot of wins at the moment, too, even though it's very weird times. And if you would like to support me, click on one of the members banners on the website. We're over on Buy Me a Coffee, that's all. It's much more simplified, and that is the best way to support me here on the ground. I don't have really any other way. That's the best way, and I'm always over there for the members doing podcasts. I've done a bunch lately. They're called the Night Watch Podcast for the Crez Files members, and I plug in pretty much every night that I'm not chatting with someone, a guest, and I cover all the latest and go over a bunch of really interesting and different information. And there's also the Sledgehammer Podcast, which is not as frequent, but I go over, cover a lot of stuff with that as well. So it's a great members spot, and it supports me here on the ground, and it helps me to keep the website up and going, up and safe and protected and rolling. And, many thousands on there a day looking through. So it's great, to have the website going and, keep moving forward. Very incredible times, Dawn, indeed. With my last guest, we've been discussing that. Everything that's happened in 2023 has been unbelievable. And you look back a couple of years with the whole COVID stuff and the lockdowns and everything, it seems like it didn't even happen now for most people. You know, it's kind of faded away. Although I was making fun of a guy I saw the other day, maybe yesterday, driving, and he was wearing a surgical mask walking down the road. He just needed to put his arms out in front of him. He really looked like a zombie. He kind of had a lurchy walk, and he had this thing on. Some people are persisting, but most have moved on. But you kind of think, yes. Someone was asking me that the other day. It's like it didn't even happen. I mean, it's like a dream to all of us individually. You kind of think, was that a dream? Did they actually make us lock down in our houses and all that? Did that actually happen? And it did, but it seems unreal looking back at it now, but it did. And there's a lot of high strangeness around it and what we're learning now, and there's a lot of things happening. But of course, you know, we've got this new escalation in the Middle East, and we've got a bunch of things happening, in 2023, that has just been an unbelievable year. It's been absolutely unbelievable what I am seeing. So I try my best to keep on top of all this and stay active and up to date and cover everything that I can. Let's wind back a little bit, because you yourself have had a pretty big trip recently to the United States. Let's bring you in, Dawn, and find out how you are, and talk about that trip and what that was all about and what you did there. I'm very interested. I think, if I'm correct, you said that you were in Texas and these places. So let's cover that a little bit on the podcast tonight. And we've got a few other little things to chat about. But how are you been? And let's talk about your trip.
Okay. Thanks for inviting me back.
Oh, good. I'm here.
Yes, I think I talked about my trip to the States in August for an event called Music and Sky. That was in California. And I recently went to another event in Texas. It was called Confluence. It's the first event. It was centered around the solar eclipse on the 14th of October. Which was the first time I'd ever seen a solar eclipse, so that was pretty amazing to be part of that. It's called the Ring of Fire, so it wasn't a total eclipse. Really very, very interesting times, as you say, we're living in. The reason for going was, you know, for the eclipse, but I was also included as one of the speakers, which was... my first kind of, you know, solo presentation, which was fun. What was particularly interesting is soon after returning from California in the beginning of September, there was some increased activity and media coverage of something called a new variant, which of course is, you know, is nonsense, because, you know, well, I mean, we'll probably talk about that a bit later, of the problems of having a variant when there's no evidence for the virus existing in the first place. So there was certainly some increased media coverage and questions about, you know, whether the what was going to happen if I was going to be able to, you know, actually go to the event, because there are certain conditions that I wasn't prepared to comply with. So it was pretty interesting that that seemed to be being ramped up in the media. But fortunately, it didn't take off at all. I think there was more than enough pushback by people, and there's certainly a lot of coverage from what I saw on things like social media or Facebook, that of people really showing that they knew that there's nothing going on. They were making fun, they were making jokes, you know, sort of various memes to show that, you know, they weren't taking it seriously. They understood what was going on, and that kind of the hype seemed to fizzle out, even though, you know, like you, there were a few people at the airports, on the planes, and around and about wearing masks, but they're certainly in the minority, which is extremely encouraging, because it shows that the fear-mongering isn't working for most people, and that, you know, an increasing percentage of the population are not buying into this fear-mongering, which is really encouraging. I think there's still some doubts and concerns and uncertainty around. And I mean, we can get into it if you like, but there's a, it was about a week ago, well, just over a week ago, there's an article on the BBC website about, it's called Changing Nature of COVID. Is it just a regular winter bug now? So what they seem to be doing is creating or normalizing what's called COVID, and making it appear as if it's something, you know, just like winter flu or that kind of thing. And although even that's problematic, but we can go into that if you like in more detail for anyone who is new to this information. So it's certainly that they're trying to normalize it, because they don't seem to be able to get away with scaring us with these variants, because, you know, I mean, they have tried a number of variants over the last few years, and people have increasingly seen through it, as I said. So they're normalizing that, but of course, as you rightly say, they've got another big story going on with what's happening in the Middle East. So maybe they're downplaying the whole COVID scam idea, because they've got something else that they're trying to get us to divide on and get emotional and embroiled in this situation that's happening. I mean, I'm not denying that there are serious problems out there. I'm not denying that there are some atrocities happening, that there are some horrible things going on. I'm not denying that at all. It's the way people's ideas are being manipulated into a certain way of viewing what's happening, which isn't necessarily a correct understanding of the historical truth, or the, you know, the truth of what actually has happened historically. So there's again more kind of divide and conquer, I would have thought, a kind of narrative getting people to be scared of what's going on. And again, it's another opportunity for us to show what's behind all of this, and to stay focused and not to get lost in the emotional side of things. So that's a kind of a starting point. So I don't know if you want to move into any of those areas in more depth, but
I was I was covering on a few podcasts just earlier on about this spark up in the US that we noticed. Not a lot of people would have noticed it, but there was like this. I was maybe going back a month or something where, as you said, the media tried to spook people, and I remember covering it here in New York and stuff. They were saying that people had to bring, businesses were wanting to bring back the masks and medical things like that. It kind of started to spark up, and we had like this whole remodeling of this COVID. It was like they were trying to bring the whole thing back, and I was kind of making fun of it, that they've run out of ideas or something here, and they're just bringing back what we went through in the US, or they're trying to. And it was all this fear-mongering, and then it kind of it sort of had its peak, and the people just seemed to push it away, and it disappeared. It went very quickly, and there was it just showed you the pushback in the US. People just didn't have it, but they tried it on for size again. This whole COVID narrative that we've already been through, and it's not working anymore. And I noticed that in the US, it was very, very interesting watching that and how quick the people kind of banded together. And now what's happening now, I'm not really seeing anything. I would assume, as in any country, when the winter time comes with medical places and stuff like that, it's kind of, it seems to me that the mask wearing and things like that seem to be just continuing on for whatever reasons they want to give. I don't know. You still see people walking around the shops in the masks. I guess they're never going to give them up. But it was very refreshing to see in the US just nut. It was just, no, I'm not doing it. And it didn't work. And it was funny the language they were using and the media hype. It is such an interesting part of everything we talk about, and we discuss how the media are used in this way to just, and how they tried to bring this back and it didn't work, so they've kind of retreated and it's all sort of gone back to normal again. And this is what we want to see. We want to see every country on Earth do this. When they try to bring this nonsense back, we just say, no, you don't. And we speak up and we say something, and they retreat. They go back into the night, as we've talked about, like the wolves, you know. But we've always got to be on guard. Someone's got to be on night watch. That's why I do my night watch podcast. Someone's always got to be on night watch. We're always got to be watching this system because they're always trying this. But I was taken back a little bit. I was thinking, what are they going to try in the US? Because it didn't really work at all the last time. And I spoke with a lot of people who live over there because I know a lot of people through the podcasts that I do, and I tracked everything, and it didn't really work. It was only really New York and California and those kinds of places where they really pushed it hard, like they did here and in Melbourne. But that was really it. The people didn't really go for it in the US. And there was a lot of people who didn't want those jabs, and they didn't buy into this. And it kind of didn't really take hold. And then to see them try this this year, when they barely really were even going into their winter, they've tried it on for size, and the media's tried to scare people again and bring all that back, and it just didn't work, so now they've gone away. Now, how does that work with a virus, Dawn? Maybe you can explain it to me, because I can't understand. I mean, can't people see the scam here? The media have blowing a gasket in the US too early, and they've tried to scare everybody that there's this COVID again, but then because the people said, nah, we're not going there, we're not taking this again, they withdrew it? How do you withdraw a virus, Dawn? Maybe you can explain. How do you say to the people in the US, in this instance, there's a virus now, everybody's got to go back to masking and getting their shots and doing all this stuff, and then when the people don't believe it, they take it away? So you just pack it up in the bag and you take it away? Is that how viruses work? I didn't know that. You just tell people there's a virus, and no, there's not, we're not buying it, we're going along with our lives, thank you very much, you can go and get stuffed. Okay, we'll just pack it up and we'll bring it back later. Jeez, that's one magical virus, Dawn.
It is.
The media just bring it out when it suits them.
Yes, and I think there's a lot of information in that, and for people who have eyes to hear, eyes to see and ears to hear, that of course if it were real, then more people would be ill. And of course it wasn't, it isn't, it never was. I suspect that there are, I mean, there are usually multiple levels to these, I suppose the best thing to call them is propaganda campaigns. And one of the levels, obviously, is that they are trying to see how many people will follow their instructions, will be scared enough to put the mask back on, how widespread the resistance is or how widespread the fear is. So in a way, it was maybe a bit of a test. And again, it hopefully, because as you say, you know, they kind of were scaring people with a new variant that was likely to be even worse than anything we've ever seen before, a new deadly dangerous something. And for people who'd been scared about that and then saw that actually nothing happened, I would like to think that that would have got even more people asking questions and saying, hang on a minute, you know, people who hadn't really looked into anything in any depth because they'd believed the mainstream media, just because, you know, they hadn't really bothered looking into anything before, or because they'd been scared by everything, they believed the experts. I mean, that doesn't mean to say they're stupid or anything. I'm not suggesting that in any way, just people who didn't know where to go to look for information to be able to understand what was really going on. And they, you know, they were trying to do their best to look after themselves, their family and people around them. And so, you know, they followed instructions because they had no other information. They had no other means of getting the information. But even they, I would imagine even a number of them would have said, like you, hang on a minute, how can something that's supposedly dangerous it's just fizzling out? There's nothing happening. People are still walking around, or, you know, the majority of people are still walking around, you know, normally, you know, showing their faces. So, yes, it certainly didn't take off. Now, again, I have no idea what's in the minds of these people who are running the show. Was it a test? Was it more than a test? Was it, who knows? Who knows? There are all sorts of possibilities. They were trying to maybe encourage more people to receive the vaccinations. There's always multiple levels to these things, so we don't know. However, it is good that it has fizzled out. Interestingly, on that article I referred to on the BBC website, one of the sentences says this: if there is one thing we have learned from the pandemic, it is the importance of trying to stay away from people if you are ill with a respiratory virus. That, of course, keeping people away from each other, separated, isolated, maintaining that idea that people can spread their germs to other people, that people can be dangerous to other people, people can spread disease, illness or whatever. So keeping us separated. So that still seems to be an underlying part of the agenda, that they want us to be separated, which is even more reason for us to have gatherings like the gatherings that have been happening this year, especially once the requirement for vaccinations for travel to the US has allowed more of us to, you know, travel around and connect with each other. And so again, that's what the Confluence event in Texas was, you know, another gathering of the crowds, if you like, and for people to be with each other in complete peace, safety, knowing, I mean, these were people who knew there was nothing to be afraid of. It's good to connect, to be together, because we have been separated and divided for so long, or some people have allowed themselves to be separated and divided and isolated. And of course, maybe that's part of this new situation where they're again trying to get us to divide along which side of a particular so-called war that they're trying to get us to divide along and, you know, support one side or the other. I mean, there's, you know, just about every situation possible they're trying to get us to divide. And so the antidote really is to gather and join and recognize our similarities rather than our differences. So I'd say there's sort of multiple levels, and I'm not suggesting that's what I've said are the only ones, but there's always different aspects to every situation that's going on, and it does require, as you rightly said, you know, to remain discerning, not necessarily out of fear of you know, the, because that's not helpful either. It's to be able to recognize the story that's being put forward, to remain skeptical in the right way, which is to just say, okay, that's what you're saying, you know, what evidence do you have for, you know, these reports, what is it based on, and not just believing these stories at face value. And it's also not to be to take the complete opposite and say, oh, well, if it's in the mainstream media, it's automatically a lie, because if we take that stance, then we could end up ignoring something that is true. So it's to remain discerning and skeptical, not just believing, but also not totally disbelieving. And these are skills that we are all learning very, very quickly, or have been learning over the past 4 years, nearly, honing our skills in just that, being discerning, being able to read between the lines, to not take everything at face value, but at least to be open to the possibility that there's some truth within the reports, but to try and find out where the truth lies and where the not truth lies as well. And sometimes it's not always easy, you know, first time out, but to just, you know, and also to remain in a state of connection with other people, instead of automatically jumping onto bandwagons and pointing fingers at, you know, other people who don't get it, and being, you know, there's quite a lot of name calling and that kind of thing going on. And I think we need to maybe kind of back off from that, you know, people saying, you know, different people are shills or this, that and the other. And I think we need to just be careful about that, because, again, these are other ways to be divided. And I think it's more important than ever to be connected and stay in communication, because together we are more powerful. And that, of course, is why they're trying to divide us by all these different ideas and situations that we're encouraged, as I said before, to take sides on. And I think when we're called to take sides, we need to be just a little more careful about what we're being pulled into, what stories we're being pulled into.
How did you find the US coming from the UK and the people and everything, you know, connecting that? How was it there? Places like Texas and stuff. How did you find the general place and how the people are and how they receive?
Well, this time I wasn't traveling around Texas, so I wasn't seeing lots of different people in different places. I will say that on the whole, the American people were extremely friendly, welcoming, and I had, you know, they're very helpful. I mean, there were some issues with missing connecting flights, and, you know, the people were just really helpful, friendly, accommodating. I don't remember having any instance of any kind of difficulties, or, you know, I found them, as I say, really welcoming and very polite and kind. At the actual event, I mean, that wasn't a surprise, because they were generally the kind of people who are and have been what we might call awake for some time. So, you know, with very much like-minded and like-hearted people who are very much freedom-minded. So that was a You know, is it a sort of very particular crowd? It wasn't a, you know, mixed crowd of people who are not aware, or I mean, there was there were definitely no masks. And as I said, very few masks on at airports and on the planes, and generally, you know, say very much the minority. But again, you know, I so the idea that, you know, there's sort of resentment towards Brits, well, if there is, I never felt it. So it was a really amazing experience, really good experience. So
yeah, really interesting. How after all this time, I can be a bit brutal when I'm doing my podcast, I know, but I just don't, I can't understand some things. We're looking at this virus theory stuff, but how have you found this anyway, with all the work that you guys have done, and David as well? How are you finding it's being received? Because in the last podcast we talked about the end of COVID. I mean, we've never seen a time in history when this kind of information in such a form has come out to the public. I mean, it's incredible how much information has now come out about this. And as we just talked about in the US, you know, you can clearly see it. They're exposing themselves in their desperate, pathetic behavior. They're exposing themselves by trying to tell the public, oh, there's COVID's back, you got to wear your mask. And then because the public don't want it, they take it away. This exposes them straight away. How are you finding this work getting out there? Because it's been a hard slog for all of us over the years. People have been embedded with the COVID theory, in bed with it, basically, you know. It scared people so much, and we've covered this with you many, many times on the podcast, you know. They really got under people's skin with the COVID-19 thing. And they scared people. And when you're scared, you don't know what you're doing. You're not in the driver's seat. You're not in control of your life anymore. And they really did. I just couldn't believe what people did. They acted in a way that they never normally would do. They did things they would never normally do. And now we're living in a time of regret. A lot of these people, they regret doing this. They regret buying into this. They regret getting the jabs. They regret locking down. They regret wearing those masks. They've simply, a lot of people I see have had enough. But it is one of those things that you and I have discussed so much, because there's so many conversations going on all the time, but we have to keep bringing people back to, hey, there's no virus. There never was. That's the most important thing we need to be understanding here. So the end of COVID was a massive, you know, event, and it's gone out. It's been cast out. People have digested this. How are you seeing things now? Say if you were to look back at doing your work a few years ago, what are you seeing now, with this? Are people starting to not only get it, but are people do you think that people are more interested in asking these questions? Because it's a medical related issue, you know, it's like a taboo or something, you know. It's okay to question COVID not being real. It's okay to question the whole virus theme and theories, you know. It's all right to do that. Just because medical doctors or the media tell you that something's real, it's okay for you to question it and go your own way. But because it's, you know, Dawn, it's medical related, well, medicine is God. You know, it's like a religion. It's a cult. And what they say goes. And people feel like, you know, they don't have the authority to question this, but you do. Are you seeing this more and more and more with your work? Is it taking off? Because you yourself, and David as well, you know, and all these great people that you're associated with, and what we're doing here and everything, we've done a hell of a lot of work over the last few years in this. What are you seeing at this point in time, going forward? What do you think is going through people's minds with this? Do you think they're just not buying it anymore? They've had enough, or they feel like they've been abused and used, which is fine, which is great, but where do you think we're going with people actually getting their mind around this, Dawn, that there isn't actually any virus there and you can't catch viruses and spread them to other people? What do you think's going on there in the mindset of most people out there? Do you think they're getting it quick enough?
I think there's a whole range of where people are. I've maintained for quite a while, there's, if you like, there's kind of three groups. There are those of us, you know, who knew, you know, knew, learnt pretty quickly. And there's, if you like, a group of, or percentage of people who are just not going to get it, or who won't or don't want to, whatever it is. But there's a big group in the middle. And I think there's a big variation between those who are just starting to question and look at what's going on, because they followed the mainstream because they had no other information about what was going on. So because it is, as you say, health related, we're indoctrinated to trust the doctor because the doctor knows what's going on, and they've seen various anomalies and contradictions. And sadly, many people have either experienced personally or with people around them the injuries from these vaccines, or you know, injuries or worse, you know, people who've died from these vaccines. And there's more and more, there are more and more reasons for people to just look and say, hang on, there's something going on. So there's a whole range from people who are just starting in that to those who are very much closer to seeing, you know, the whole thing being a problem. And as you say, the end of COVID has certainly been instrumental in helping people, because the there was a second, or rather there was a replay that went out at the beginning of October. It was supposed to be just for 11 days between the 1st and 11th of October. That had to be extended because there were so many people accessing the end of COVID that it actually crashed the server of the host that were holding the, so they had to scramble and really work through getting over that problem to make it available. So then the replay period was extended to last week. So the fact that the system crashed because there were so many people looking at it is incredibly encouraging. The figure I believe was over 3 million people. So I mean, by comparison to the world population, if you like, and again, that's questionable as to what the actual number is, but there's obviously a huge number of people. 3 million is a small number. It is still an incredible start for more people to really understand what was behind the whole COVID thing, what the whole COVID thing really was about, where the problems were with the whole narrative, and all of the problems with the whole narrative, because that's what the end of COVID included. You know, it really went into detail on all the different aspects to show that there was absolutely nothing behind the narrative they were putting out about a new virus that was, you know, causing some new deadly disease. And I think more people are getting that and understanding that. And I think the idea that there's no such thing as a pathogenic virus is beginning to be more accepted. I mean, I kind of thought naively, I suppose, that this would have happened more quickly from the beginning. However, you know, things unfold as they are meant to. And I'm learning some patience with all of that. I've always been patient, I suppose, but it's you know, wanting people not to fall into the trap of believing. But of course, you know, people have to follow their own path. They have to come to their understanding of what's going on in their own time. And more people are doing that. As for people who regret their actions, they are, you know, everyone's on their own journey. So they would, I have nothing but compassion for them. I understand, you know, they made decisions based on where they were, what they understood at the time. And many people who made decisions to be vaccinated, you know, early on have actually said no more. And hopefully that's encouraged an awful lot more people to look into vaccinations generally, because again, even though, as I said, that, you know, COVID is being played down as, you know, something like, you know, just another respiratory virus, you know, it's just like the flu. There are, you know, allegedly other so-called respiratory viruses. So, you know, these ideas are still there in the background, so that there's a way to go to get people to really understand that there are it's not just the SARS-CoV-2 virus that has never been proven to be pathogenic in any way, shape or form, but the same applies to all other viruses or so-called viruses, these particles that are called viruses. So our work isn't over. I think it's getting easier, because more people are understanding, and as more people understand, they will be sharing that information with their friends and family, hopefully, and more people will gradually get to see, you know, because, and again, because of situations where they were trying to bring out this new scary variant, you know, really, it was supposed to be a really serious one this time, and yet nothing actually happened. And as you say, it just seemed to fizzle out, and people may be saying, well, hang on a minute, I thought it was supposed to be really dangerous. What's going on?
That can't happen with a virus, can it, Dawn? I mean, if there's a viral outbreak, everyone's going to get sick. I mean, you can't just take it away because no one wants to believe in it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's crazy.
I mean, when you say virus, I mean, I you know, when if there were a real illness, ill health condition that was transmittable between people, you know, that we can, you know, that people can pass something, spread something, all of those sorts of ideas. No. So again, this hopefully is getting people to start looking, questioning, seeing the anomalies, seeing the contradictions, because I think that's one of the best ways for people to start thinking about something, is when they see something that doesn't make sense, or one piece of information one day that's followed by something that is very different the next day, and for people to say, hang on a minute, that's not what they said yesterday, this is something different, or that it's, you know, some big deadly dangerous something or other in the news one day and it just disappears off the news the next day. So it's getting people to question. But as you say, if there were a transmissible disease that, you know, that was going to be very dangerous, and some people would have seen some kind of effect. So the fact that there isn't, as you say, it's, you know, helping people. I mean, no, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever for people like us who know that there's no evidence for these particles to be the cause of any kind of ill health condition, or to be transmissible, or to be what we're told they are, or, you know, what people are told they are. So I think it's, as I say, encouraging, and I think it's, you know, it's a slow process, but it is exponential, because, you know, if there are 10 people that learnt it today, that and each one of those 10 people can tell 10 other people, then, you know, that's how this spreads. You know, it really is. We're on in the process of things changing. I don't know how quickly, but yes, I mean, it's moving.
Indeed. Maybe people are starting to finally just see through that fear a bit more, but this way that we've been explaining tonight through the media, because I always said, you know, the media were used. I did a Night Watch podcast the other night, actually talking about how the media were used in this way to spread COVID. They're the real virus. If you want to believe in a virus, it's the media. And they spread this all over the world. They made people believe that, you know, they were going to get something, or they had something, or something was going to get them that just simply wasn't there. It's really incredible. And it was done through the television sets, planetary. They pumped that through the TV sets and they made people go crazy. But there's nothing there. It was really unbelievable. And so they caused it. This is the corporate media. It's not mainstream media. It's corporate media. You know, they're controlled by corporations. That all we all know it all goes to just what one company or, you know, BlackRock, or these ones, and you'll see that we watch different channels and different media stations, but they all say the same thing. They all talk the same. They all have the same tones in their voices. They all have the same hand and head movements and everything. They have the same sets. The colors are the same. Everything. The anchormen. The whole thing is the same thing. Planetary. I mean, it's corporate media. They don't represent us. They're not here for us. It's an operation of the New World Order system. You know, it's like an octopus's, you know, tentacles going out. It's a propaganda wing, an arm of the New World Order system, and they represent that. They don't represent us, the people. They're not here to report for us, our communities, our children, our families, nothing. They're not here for you. This is what people need to understand. So why are people still bloody well buying into their newspapers and watching this stuff? We need to completely block it out of our lives. These people, they're beyond traitors. They're terrible. And they spread this. They caused this. They caused all of this fear and lockdowns and troubles and problems in communities and people. People got those injections based on what the media told them. You know, people did all these things based on what the corporate media said. And the corporate media is just a puppet for this system, I know. But they caused it all. And it would only make sense that now they're going to completely expose themselves like I believe they've done in the US. And it was very interesting that you brought that up because it was something that I covered a lot. This is a very interesting thing that is happening in these countries as they go into their, you know, we're Southern Hemisphere here. So when these countries go into their, in the Northern Hemisphere, they go into their winter pattern, and then the media try to get people to fall back into this and scare people again, and they just had enough. It really exposes the lie. And I think that's an important thing that we've brought up tonight on the podcast. That exposes the lie. What happened in the US exposes the lie. And for any average Joe who believes in virus theory, you shouldn't now, because they just exposed themselves 100%. They told the American people that there's this COVID outbreak again, you have to do all this, and then they took it away. You can't do that if there's a real virus out there. You just can't do that with something that's spreading from person to person and going through the communities and making people sick and die. You can't just stop it or turn it off. It's just the thing. And so in that way, now, even with everything that's going on in 2023, the media are the ones who I think are going to bring all this down. And they've already exposed themselves wickedly. I mean, it's unbelievable. And people are just turning off in their masses. And I've seen this with what's going on in the Gaza as well, Dawn. As soon as this kind of sparked up, people were picking at it. And there was just so much information out there. We saw it with the fires in Hawaii, in Maui. And we've seen it just with everything that happens. People are onto this so quick and information is getting shared so fast. And so what we have now, if we were to look at Australia, for example, we have, and I know they've already doing this in the UK, and they're well into it, into Canada. We're fighting back a lot more here. Is what they're doing now, Dawn, is they're bringing in hate speech laws and censorship laws. And I saw a really incredible video. Someone, I can't confirm it, Dawn, but it was a guy, a Canadian guy. And in the video, he claimed that he was in Canada and he can't pull up all these, social media links and channels that he wants to go on, that it's not showing. And what he did is he drove into the US, into Buffalo, crossed the bridge into Buffalo. He parked his car, so he was on US territory, and he, on his phone, he brought up all the websites that he couldn't see in Canada. That's what he was saying, and he was filming it. Now, I can't confirm that, but it sounds right to me. So he couldn't see it in Canada, but in the US, boom, it all popped up. So they're censoring like China do. And this has taken a big hold in Canada already, and this is what they want to do to us in Australia, because they're saying that what you and I are doing and our listeners are doing and people are learning and they're sharing information, they're saying that you're dangerous, you're a conspiracy theorist, you're spreading hate and propaganda, and we need to basically take you out. We need to scrub you away, like erase you from the internet. And then what we do is we just have our corporate media put information out, and then that will gradually change the mindset of the people so we can all come to our own conclusions and it'll be better. That's what they're doing. But it's just making people shake their head in disbelief, and it's making it worse. You know what I mean? It's pushing more people to wake up. You know what I mean? As the system becomes so desperate, they don't know what to do anymore, like we were talking about in the US. So it's such interesting times. But the next stages in Australia after getting rid of this voice to Parliament, which was basically a UN land grab, now we need to focus on stopping these Vince Albanese, who calls himself the Prime Minister of Australia, we need to stop these harsh hate speech laws, because they're basically saying what you and I are doing now, Dawn, it's hate speech. We're dangerous, and we possibly, in Queensland, Australia, they are trying to introduce laws that could give you 3 years prison. And these hate speech laws don't apply to the government, and they don't apply to the corporate media, and I'm not kidding. And so this has blown up so much in the country, and it's so ludicrous and preposterous and ridiculous that everybody knows about it now, and I honestly can't see them going forward with it. I think it's going to be a failure, but it's all part of them exposing themselves. In this way, Dawn, is very interesting, because we don't actually have to do anything. You know, we can actually watch this system self-implode as it just, yes, as it turns against itself, because it's no one's buying into it anymore. And then we just sit back and go, have a look at them. They're just like attacking each other, and it just becomes like this ridiculous mess. I think we're in those phases now, and it's very refreshing to see. But all I would say to people is just keep your wits about you, because we're going to go through this storm, as you know very well, and we've got to remain strong and focused here, and together as a unit. They're trying to divide and conquer. It's the way they've always been able to do it. They're trying to set us all against each other. They're trying to cause war within communities now with the Israeli and Palestinian thing, and cause fighting and infighting and arguments everywhere you look. And that's what I was saying on the podcast the other night. The whole world is like a board game of war. It's like a board game, and they're just moving it all around to create chaos and confusion, so we keep distracted and fighting with another and arguing and seriously creating all these wars. And this is their game now, but nobody's really buying it. Everybody's had a gut full of it. It isn't working anymore. And so this system, it doesn't have anything else to offer. So what, now they're going to have a war? Now they're going to tell people to wear masks again and to lock down again because they've run out of ideas, and people are just saying no. So it is an incredible thing, but I was concerned to see this taking place in the UK, Canada, Australia. They won't try it in the US. They can't do it. Because of, it's just a whole different system there, but they're trying it on us, Dawn, to basically shut us up online. That's their last desperate attempt. Just shut us up. So we can't get messages and information out on our websites and social media, so we're just not here anymore. And it's just the mainstream media, but I know you will agree, it's just going to make people more suspicious.
Yes, I mean, there's so many points to that. The thing about hate speech, I mean, is ridiculous, because anyone listening to this conversation will be hard pressed to find anything where either of us have said anything that sounds like hate speech. I mean, no, I don't know. Well, they wouldn't find it. So again, it's a misnomer. It's obviously just made to To give a certain impression. The other thing is that there are plenty of people who are looking into alternative methods of remaining connected that don't involve these centralized systems. So if you like, all this repression and oppression is inspiring people to be creative and inventive, which is really exciting. And you know, that's what we should be, you know, being creative rather than just following in these very narrow guidelines that we're given as to who and what we're supposed to be doing in our lives. So it's really encouraging the most incredible people to create all sorts of alternative systems. The other thing is that I think in some ways it's a little bit of crying wolf. The idea is to try and scare us to self-censor so that we think, oh, 3 years in prison, I can't do that. Oh, I'd better follow the guidelines. And I don't think many of us who have been out there for the past 4 years nearly or more, but I mean certainly since the beginning of 2020, are going to cave in now. You know, we've stood our ground so far, so we're not going to cave in, no matter what kind of is brought, because these kinds of threats don't have the same feel. You know, they're in many cases they're empty threats, but even if they are real threats, you know, we know what's in our hearts. We know we're not committing crimes. We know that we are doing our very best to help people to create a world where people can live in peace and freedom. And if that means, you know, we have to take certain consequences, then, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, that's the way it is. But I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to back down from my principles. You know, we've come this far. And as I, like you were saying, I think a lot of it is, you know, desperation. They're just trying to use whatever possible methods they can. And as you say, the sort of, you know, there's the mainstream media or corporate media, as you correctly say. There's also the so-called alternative media, and I don't include us in that, that are putting out some good information and unfortunately mixed with some
mixed messages.
Mm. So that's not always helpful, because that creates more confusion, and people, you know, if you like, the general public are given the idea that it's either the mainstream or the alternative, whereas there is a large group of people like us who are not trying to mislead people, whether deliberate or not misleading people, whether it's intentional or not, I don't know what's in people's minds. I know some people are doing their best to put out information, and there is just so much that is incorrect, and maybe they just haven't looked at certain aspects of what's going on. Maybe they, and so they're misled about certain parts of the information they're putting out, and they're not doing it intentionally. It's just they haven't covered that particular topic in depth. I would suggest that if people haven't covered a topic in depth, then maybe they shouldn't be talking about it. So, you know, for example, if people are talking about health or something like that, and then they start talking about climate change as if it's a real phenomenon that is caused by excess carbon dioxide, and we all need to reduce our carbon, and you know, we need to do all of these things to reduce carbon dioxide, that's misleading. But there are aspects of carbon sequestration back into the earth that is important, because you know, there's the soil health. So in many of these topics there are, again, like you say, mixed messages. So there's some good information but misleading information, and it's a huge amount of work required to cover all of the topics correctly, so that you know, you have a good understanding of what's actually going on, what is correct information based on what's true in the world, and what's misleading information. And as I say, I'm sure that many people are not deliberately misleading people, but there are some who aren't prepared to look at certain aspects, and certainly with the health thing. Now, with just if I know we're sort of running short of time, but I do want to make one point on the health, because it is important when you're saying, you know, these different diseases that can be spread around, the viruses and things like that. All of this can be understood more clearly when people appreciate what symptoms truly are. And when they're put out as if it's a disease, that's obviously unhelpful. When we have symptoms, the vast majority of symptoms that we have that are related to whatever might be called, you know, flu, cold, or whatever nonsense, whatever labels they're given, these symptoms are not things to be, they're not bad. Then doesn't mean you have a problem in your body. They are, in fact, the body's efforts to cleanse the system, to heal itself. Therefore, symptoms shouldn't be suppressed. They should be allowed to just continue, and you know, most of them are self-limiting anyway. So if you take plenty of fluids and rest and just calm things down a little bit, allow your body to have these symptoms, you know, whether it's a cough or sort of runny nose, headache, those kinds of things, fever, just let them run their course, because they are, as I say, for the most part self-limiting, and they are the body healing itself. The body doesn't make mistakes. The body is not stupid. The body has these very intelligent processes that are efforts to rebalance and heal and restore health. So it's interfering with symptoms because we think they're bad, and it means there's something wrong with us. That's the complete opposite of what's going on. So it really requires a big shift of the way we approach what we think of as symptoms that are associated with these labels that are, whether it's flu, COVID, or that kind of thing. You know, that this is the body looking after itself. And the one thing we need to all learn to do is not get in its way, and not get in the body's way. The body is intelligent. It's not some stupid machine of different parts that makes mistakes and attacks itself and all this nonsense. So when people understand what symptoms are, then they can just let go of all the other labels and just recognize that their body's looking after itself, and to allow those symptoms, as I say, to just run their own course. And if you just, as I say, rest, drink plenty of fluids, you know, if you have no appetite, don't eat, it's fine. A day or two of minimal eating or not eating will be good, because again, the body can take that energy that it normally uses for digestion into the self-healing, and you'll recover so much more quickly. So I just wanted to again make that point, because that helps. That's a big part of the puzzle, I think. That's a big puzzle piece that will help people understand what these symptoms are, and not to see them as, oh well, it's something bad.
A psychological part too, Dawn.
Sorry?
There's a psychological part, as we've discussed in previous podcasts, you know, like, yes. I found personally when I believed that I could catch a flu off someone.
Yes.
You know, but then once I started doing all this research and I took that out of my mindset, I'm just not the same anymore. I know it sounds funny to people, but it just isn't. Because it's like, yeah, I do, I've come into contact with a few people recently, just with work, sort of elderly people and things that they're isolating with COVID. I feel so sad for them, but the doctors told them that they've got COVID or something, and they've had all the jabs, so they're isolating at home. And they're trying to do the right thing by you, by saying, like, we don't want to meet or have any contact. And I'm fine. I'll come in and give you a big kiss on the sofa. You know what I mean? Like, I don't care. But, yeah, for them, if the doctor tells them that they have this or they've got the flu or something, they want to isolate and wear the mask. They don't want to spread it to you. But in my mind, it's gone years ago. I don't see it anymore.
Yeah.
And so I used to be like that. Yeah, I used to think that you could catch things off people. This guy's going to cough on me and I'm going to get his thing. And you do. I'm just saying, I'm trying to bring in here what a strong part of all this the mind plays.
Absolutely.
And we've talked about it over our many, many podcasts. It's something that people will need to go back and find, but we've gone into it deeper. I'm just saying, look at what we've been talking about tonight, how the media made people believe in something that just simply wasn't there. They believed it. They conjured it. They made it real.
Yeah.
It's like in The Matrix, when he has the blood coming out of his mouth when they're in the simulation and he says, your mind makes it real. It's like your mind makes it real. For people, COVID really was real. For them. But it's not. But for them, they really believed it so much. They made themselves sick. And this is a very complicated problem that we will continue to break down, Dawn, of course, like we always do. But the mind is such an important tool here when we're looking at our health, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I agree totally. I'm just mindful of the time. I mean, as you say,
we can. You're right, Dawn. You're right. If you want to tie up something, we've got a good 10 minutes or so. I'll give you the floor if you want to speak to that, what I just asked you. That's fine.
Right. Okay. I was just. It is a huge piece of the puzzle, as you rightly say. I was just really trying to help people understand what symptoms are when they're actually experiencing them. There is, of course, that part, as you rightly point out, that they don't even necessarily have to experience those symptoms unless their body is ready to have a sort of a clear out and a cleanse, because there are many people who can it is possible to manifest symptoms literally by the belief that somebody has passed something to you. And if anyone thinks this sounds extremely far out, I would recommend that they look at something called the placebo effect. It is well known in the medical establishment. They even use placebo controlled trials where they give people an inert pill. I mean, there's, you know, it's a sugar pill. There's absolutely nothing in these pills that are supposed to be able to, manage symptoms or anything like that. And yet people report recovering from whatever health problem they have just by taking these placebos. So the power of the mind is amazing. The opposite effect is called the nocebo effect, which can be more devastating, because it's where people, instead of manifesting beneficial outcomes, they're actually manifesting harmful outcomes, which is, again, people manifesting symptoms when there is no physiological reason for doing so. So the nocebo effect has been known to be associated with, again, these inert pills. They're sugar pills. There's absolutely nothing that should be causing anything, any effects, whether they're side effects or whatever they want to be called. But people have been known to have serious effects after taking these placebos, including things like vomiting, losing their hair, because people thought they were on a clinical trial for a chemotherapy drug, and they know that these are the common side effects of chemotherapy drugs. And they have these effects, they manifest the symptoms, and then discover that they were in the placebo group. So there was absolutely nothing in those pills that should have encouraged their body to manifest those symptoms. And yet, you know, that's quite dramatic, you know, for vomiting and again, hair loss. As I say, the sort of common so-called side effects. I mean, they're not side effects, they're direct effects of these so-called chemotherapy. So there's more than enough evidence to support all of that. And, I've looked into it in detail. It's the power of the mind is amazing. And this is what is used by these corporate media people, or people behind the corporate media, because they know the power of the mind. They know what people can manifest when they are in a state of fear. And that's why, you know, we've got the term PSYOP, which is psychological operation. You know, a lot of what's being put out in the media, mainstream media, is, you know, can best be described as psychological warfare, because they're trying to make us believe things that are not true, that are unproven. And when people are in a state of fear, as you rightly said, you know, they're confused, they're not able to make sensible and rational decisions and choices. And especially if, because, you know, people are overall, men and women are decent at heart, and if they're told that they could, you know, their presence could harm another person, for the most part, they wouldn't want to do that. So they're operating from their heart, they're operating from the right place, only they're taking the wrong actions. So they're separating from people, whereas they should, in like you, be saying, no, this isn't true. And instead of separating and dividing from their loved ones and their people, to actually make sure that they connect with them more, because there's the human connection is just so nourishing and at all sorts of levels. And, you know, the more hugs we can all give each other, the better, because that's just so good. That's just so good for us. You know, that's so good for our nervous system. When most of the media reports and all this psychological warfare just attacks our nervous system and puts us into a high state of alert, if you like, all the time. Whereas, you know, being with people and in close connection and feeling safe and secure, properly safe, you know, hugging people is so good for settling the nervous system, which means that, you know, everything can calm down. We can start, people can start to make rational decisions and start to see things clearly. And that's why it's good to help people recognize when they're being made to fear unnecessarily. That's not to say fear is bad, you know, because like you have, it's not, but it's when fear is based on narratives that aren't correct, unnecessary fear. If we can remove that, then we can live our lives somewhat more calmly and peacefully and in freedom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's amazing, some of those articles that came out looking at right in the COVID spell, because that's what it was. It was a spell cast over humanity, at the babies who were born and the mums wearing the masks that they couldn't identify properly with the mother. I've always talked about this, that it turned people into zombies. It really did. It really turned people into zombies. If you take away the Hollywood propaganda and the makeup, and you look at what they're telling you through the movies, it turned people into zombies wearing those masks. Who knew that putting that mask over that part of your mouth would turn you into a zombie? And it's so dehumanizing and unbelievable. As you said, they're doing, yeah, very, very well. I agree totally. They took away that contact, that human. It's to me, it's all part of transhumanism. You know, in order to succeed with transhumanism, you've got to take off the table all those complexities and things and emotions that make us human, right?
Yeah.
As you merge people with technology, that's what people, you know, people need to understand this. They're merging us with technology. They're making us become technology because of our dependence on it. And we don't realize that slow slipstream like that, that incremental doses every day, as the technology becomes more and more overwhelming and overpowering, we're becoming it and it's becoming us. And that's where we're going now. The cashless thing, everything that we're seeing is all part of transhumanism. And that psyop part of taking our emotions away and everything that Dawn was talking about before, yeah, it's all part of transhumanism to me. And that's, but I think that human emotions and humans are just, we're too complex for that to be done. I can't see it. I can't see a transhumanism age. Maybe we've been through it at one point and we've come back. I don't know how many times we've been here and how many times this is going on, this simulation or whatever the hell's going on here. But I do know that I just don't think it's going to work this time. I can't see it. Humans are too complex. With, and that is really all about love and the heart center, you know. Humans are just too way over emotional and complex for that to take place, and I think that we're going to kick up a storm, and there's just going to be too much problems for this to come in. And that's where every single person comes into play here. You've got to say no to this system, and you've got to push back against it, because it will go away. It won't go away forever, but it'll retreat away like a dark tide, and then they'll come back, and we'll be ready for them again. But the way that they're going to get to us is through the technology. That's how, you know, for me, the devil dawn is in the technology. It's in the detail. That's how, the devil, if you will get to human beings. That's how it's going to break us down, through that tech, through our dependence on it, the addiction on it. And I do see it, unfortunately, everywhere I go, especially with a lot of young people being so hooked on the phones. But I think at the end of the day, we're just too emotionally complicated to get rid of that. So I think that this whole Agenda 2030 thing, like Agenda 2021 or whatever it was, is going to be pushed further and further forward. And I think that people are just cluing on too quick now at this point in history. So I do think we're in a battle. But I think it's going to be very interesting times ahead. I would say to people, buckle up big time. But I do have confidence and hope, Dawn. I do have faith in my gut. I go with my gut. I go with that intuition, that human intuition, and that feeling that you have that you can't deny. And I think that we're going to beat this. This Klaus Schwab Agenda 2030, this cold-hearted robotic transhumanism, you know, sort of identity system they want to bring in and saturate us with. Who wants to live in that kind of, you know, 15-minute cities and all of this? It's all been exposed so much. They don't want it in the UK. They don't want it all around the world. We're saying no in massive numbers. And let's hope, Dawn, let's hope that we can. I mean, look what they're doing now. They're starting wars. They're starting wars because they're so desperate. They're so desperate. This satanic Freemason system is so utterly desperate to gain control over humanity. Now they're going to start all these wars, and it's all about bogging people down in the quicksand of fear. It's absolutely phenomenal, and people are just overcoming this now. And once in a large enough numbers, we can start to overcome this. We're changing our mindsets, we're changing our view of the world and everything, and that creates more positivity, and it's like a vibrational thing, I feel. And this, hopefully, we can overcome this, Dawn. I really do feel confident about it, but it doesn't mean we're not going to go through a storm here. It is really incredible times that we're moving through now. I know you will agree. It is. Yeah. I never knew in my wildest dreams, going through 20 and 21 and 22 here in Australia, it was like, oh my God. I'm still trying to come to terms with it, but 2023 has been outrageous. And I'm sort of thinking, what's going to happen in 2024? What's going to go on here? But you know what? I'm not going to worry about that. I think it's not here yet. We can't worry about the past. We can't look towards the future. We've just got to live in the moment, and we've got to fix this right now and do the best we can and live every day as it comes, not worry about sort of next year, which I tend to do a little bit. I'm trying to get out of that that sort of way of thinking of what's coming next year and what are they going to do now? It's all done. Wars, fake viruses, locking people down. I mean, what can they do? An alien landing, Dawn? I mean, what theatrics can they bring in now that we haven't seen and been through? I think human beings are just, you know what? We're done. You know, we just want our lives back. We want to thrive. Everything's here in plugging out here, Dawn, I think that we have to return to the true self. I think that we have to go back. We have to return, to natural law. We have to turn away from this transhuman, because that's what it's all about. It's transhumanism. And whoever the hell these people are, I don't care anymore. Let them go. They're obviously very deeply sick in the head. If that's something that they want, well, go ahead with it. We don't want it. the bulk of humanity, we're going to turn back. We're going to turn back. We're going to go back to where we need to be and return to that more natural law way of things. I think it's right there waiting for us. It's just that we've been bamboozled with technology. That's the problem, Dawn, over all these years. They've smothered us and hampered us with so much amounts of technology that we don't even need. And then we've lost ourselves. We've moved off that path, and now we're on that transhumanism path. And I think that it's easy. It's an easy fix. We just have to realize, that this is happening, and go back. But we're moving into difficult, stormy, incredible time storm. What a time in history to be alive, eh? Who knew that we would get into the elevator and press the button and and ding and walk out into this, but we are here. We can't be negative about it. I guess we've just got to all band together and keep moving forward. Give us your final thoughts on what I've mentioned there, Dawn, before we plug out tonight. It is a battle for the soul, isn't it? Almost, it's almost biblical what's going on, and I think we've just got to calm down and go back to that heart center and natural state of affairs and realize that, hey, everything's here for us. You know, why are we going through all this? It's absolute nonsense. We don't need any of this. Mother Earth has provided everything for us. Here, clean water and food. I mean, why are we going through all this crazy behavior when it's just unneeded? We just want to be left alone and thrive again and be human. How can we get back to that state of affairs, Dawn? Throw the newspapers in the bin?
Yes, I mean, you say, you know, back. I know
what
you
mean. Oh, yeah, I mean forward. I just mean to create that reference point, you know, that we need to look at what is important because we've forgotten. But I do mean move forward. Can't go back. I just mean to look at that and realize, make that connect, reconnect and move forward.
Yes, no, I appreciate that. It's, like you say, it's just, you know, not because we don't want to go back into the situation that has allowed us to kind of
to get here in the first place.
It's recognizing that the progress that we're told is progress was not necessarily progress to be beneficial for the entirety of men and women, and you know, everywhere they were. This progress was only designed to benefit a very small number of people. So it's for us to recognize that we are free, we are, our humanity is important, and to create the circumstances where we can live in peace and freedom with each other. That's not to say, you know, everything's kind of, you know, sunshine and lollipops. You know, I'm not, it's not a Pollyanna view. It's, you know, we have, I know you call it a battle, and I know what you mean, and I'm trying not to make it feel like a battle, but we are coming through some very strange and dark times. It's just holding on to knowing who we are, and in fact, if anything, it's not necessarily about learning; it's more about unlearning what we've been told is true, so that we can kind of remove this indoctrination, and as you say, and that's the get back to who we truly are, and then live according to natural law, live according to what feels right, live according to freedom, you know, principles of freedom and community, and to see what we can create here, you know, because we are creator beings in many ways that could be sort of understood, you know, in many ways. So we are creator beings, and it's, I believe we're all here for that purpose of creating, rather than being manipulated and indoctrinated into a system. Because I think all of us who are, you know, kind of the, if you like, for want of a better term, kind of pioneers in this, have always felt a little bit different, and that's fine, because now we know that's a good thing. We've not been following the herd, so we are learning who we are, shedding all the indoctrination, shedding the limiting beliefs about what we are, what we can do, And I agree with you about transhumanism. I believe the human body is far more intelligent and would not be capable of being overwhelmed too easily by technology. So that's not to say, I don't know where this can go, but I think the more people who are aware of how amazing our bodies truly are, that is the body is actually far more incredible than any technology that can be created by humans. So, you know, we are amazing beings, we are creator beings, and like you, I'm optimistic and positive. I don't know when what is going to happen, and you know, we stay together, we form bonds, and we don't allow ourselves to be divided by minor differences. We recognize our similarities and go forward and in strength. I mean, I know that sounds all very utopian, I don't mean it to be. It's the principle of recognizing who we are, that we can actually get through this rather than being overwhelmed by what appears to be, you know, the world going mad.
The new age movement, Dawn, has muddied the waters, hasn't it? So
yes,
we just need to recognize that true human form, that's all, without all that nonsense.
Yes, no, this isn't about, you know, just sort of love and light and ignoring what's going on. No, I don't mean that at all. You know, we have to understand who we are, deal with our own sort of shadows, deal with our own traumas, recognize what's going on, and be real and be in this world and know we're here for bringing about these changes that need to happen.
That's right, Dawn. Great. Absolutely fantastic. And plugging out tonight for the podcast, been great chatting with you. Anything coming up in the next few months, talk-wise and stuff? Will you be back with me in November?
Yes, there are no more trips over the other over the pond. I mean, there's a short trip, but I mean that's just to Europe, so no, there's no reason why I can't be back with you in November, so that's, see you next month.
That's great. I did want to delve in, I did want to talk to you about antibiotics and drug use and why this makes people feel better sooner and this smothering symptoms and what drugs kind of mean, because I've had an experience recently with this. So I thought it would be an interesting podcast, but I think we're going to need a little bit more time with that to get you to cover sort of antibiotics and why it is a very complicated issue and why people use the drugs and why they have the effects they do and what that means in the body and what your body's telling you and everything. And why we rely on them so much. So I thought that we might cover that on the next one, if you would be interested in sort of, I could give you the floor a bit more and you could go through that, because when kids get things going on with them, fevers and things and what appear to be bacterial outbreaks and things, and they become unwell and we turn to antibiotics, but what does all this mean and what's going on here? I thought that it would create a good talking point on our next podcast, Dawn. So great chatting with you tonight on the podcast here. It's good to be doing this, continuing forward for our listeners out there. I'll put all your details and attach them into the podcast description so people can look at that, and we'll be back again on the next one.
Excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Adam.